Good morning and welcome to Newbury Baptist Church. It's lovely to have you here this morning. Welcome to every single one of you. Looking forward to worshipping God together on this second Sunday of Advent. Just a couple of notices. One is to say a huge thank you to all of those who were at the first Thursday carol service on Thursday this week. It was great to have you there, and thank you too for your enormous generosity. And please, if any of you are around at 12:30 Tuesday, come and join us for the Cheap Street Carols. This was originally a carol service that we did with Gamma a couple of years ago, who hire our car parking spaces here. They came back to us this year and said, oh, can we do it again? But then we turned it into the Cheap Street Carols and invited all the local businesses down this road. But if you could come and swell the numbers, if you can be here for 45 minutes on Tuesday, it would be great to have you here. And it's great that they want to do it. So looking forward to that. Because it's the second Sunday of Advent, I get to light two of these. Hang on, let's... Is this going well so far? There we are. And we'll light that one as well. There we go. Listen to this description. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And as we light each of those candles, we look forward to celebrating his birth together. Let's stand as we sing a great Advent hymn, O come, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
friends. Let's remain standing as we pray. Come then, O Lord Jesus. Come and be our light on the darkest night. Come and be our song of hope, even when the days are dark. Come, Lord Jesus, and show us the face of God again. Come and make your presence felt, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you please sit down? Oh, there he is. Couldn't find my story box for a minute there. Here it is. Come and have a look, because I've got a lovely story I want to tell you this morning. Some of you will know the story, and some of you won't, I suspect. So, have we got everybody? We have. Let's have a look and see. I've got all sorts of bits and pieces in here. There's a basket. Will you hold that for me? Thank you. There's a brush. And here's a bit of a manky duster, but you can hold that. Who's going to... Would you take... hold that little horse for me. And who's got this? Who's going to hold this little star for me? Will you hold that for me? There you hold. That's fine. Oh, there we go. Right. I might need you to hold that up when the moment comes, all right? I'll tell you for that. Now, I'm going to shut this lid so it doesn't fail. Shh. Now, this story happens a long time ago and a very long way away. It happened somewhere really, really cold in Russia. And it's a story about someone who at the time was called Babushka. Now that just means little old lady. But her actual name at the time was Babushka. And nobody really knew much about her because she lived in a house right on the edge of the village. And she was always so busy cleaning and cooking and cooking and cleaning, she never had time to talk to anybody. So one night, when all people in the village were gathered in the square looking up at, where's it gone? The star. Hold the star up. When all the people were looking up at this amazing star moving across the sky, do you know what she was doing? Cleaning and sweeping up. Didn't even see it. And so the next morning, when somebody came and knocked on her door, in fact, it was three somebodies, three kings in beautiful robes, and said, can we come in and have a meal? Well, she knew nothing about it, but being her, she said, oh, come on in. And she made them a lovely meal, lots of tasty things. And then whilst they went to sleep, because they'd travelled all night, she got on with her cooking and cleaning and cleaning and cooking. And when it came to the evening, she made them another meal. And as they sat around the table eating, she said, well, where are you three going? And they said, we're following the star, and we're following it all the way to the greatest king the world has ever seen. And then the amazing thing was, they said, why don't you come with us? What do you think she said? No. She said, oh, I can't come with you. I need to clean up the house. I need to lock it up properly. And anyway, she said, I haven't got a gift I could give to a baby king. Well, they all looked at her and said, you must have something. No, she said, you go on your way. I won't come with you. And so after they'd had their meal, they saddled up their camels and they got on them and they started to ride away out of the village. And as they did that, she started to feel a little bit sad inside. She thought, oh, I wish I'd gone with them. No, she thought, I haven't got anything that's right to give a king. And then she remembered that in a cupboard at the back of the house that she'd not opened for many years were the toys that once had belonged to her little baby son. And she got them out and she started to clean them. And there were lots and lots and lots of them. So she cleaned and cleaned and cleaned and cleaned until daylight broke and she fell asleep. Well, that night she got up and she took a basket and she put all the toys she could find in a basket. And she decided she'd set off and follow the star. But she was way, way, way behind the others. And it seemed that every time she got somewhere new, she would say, where have the three kings gone? And they'd say, well, they've gone on to the next town. And then she'd sleep and she'd get up the next night and she'd follow on and she'd get to the next town. So, where have they gone? They'd say, oh, sorry, you've just missed them. Until the end, she got all the way to Bethlehem. And by that time, the kings had gone, and the shepherds had gone, and Mary and Joseph had gone, and baby Jesus had gone. So she had this whole basket of toys, and no one to give them to. And so the story goes that she's carried on walking from town to town and village to village with her basket of toys. And at Christmas time, every once in a while, she gives them out to somebody. But I think it's such a sad story. It's such a sad story because she could have gone and seen Jesus for herself, and she was just too busy to bother. There's nothing more important than seeing Jesus, and there's nothing more important than talking to him. So whenever you think you've got something more important to do, you know, you probably haven't, because you don't want to land up like her, missing it when the moment comes. Thank you very much. Do you want to go and sit down? We're going to learn a new song together now. Thank you, Ruth.
We're going to sing a carol called From the Squalor of a Borrowed Stable, and I think some of you might know it, but just in case you don't, we're going to sing through verse 1 for you while you all sit down, and then you can stand and join in with us.
From the squalor of a borrowed stable, by the spirit of a virgin's babe, to the anguish and the shame
sit down. Perhaps those going out to the different groups would like to make their way there now.
We're going to spend some time just worshipping God together now, and with two songs just talking about that personal decision that we've made to follow Jesus and to give him our lives. So if that is something that you have done, then maybe you could join with me in singing these songs. And if it's not something you've done, maybe you could listen to the words and consider whether this is the time to do it. So if you'd like to stand up and join with me.
Please sit down as Roger comes to read to us from Matthew's Gospel. Thank you.
This morning's reading is from Matthew chapter 1, commencing at verse 18. This section's entitled, Joseph Accepts Jesus as His Son. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Thank you, Roger, very much. Can I just say thank you for your prayers for Monday morning's radio broadcast? It was a bit of a challenge. I couldn't do it in Berkshire because their studio wasn't ready, so I had to drive down to Guildford, and I only just got there on time, got held up on the hog's back, so literally came into the studio about a minute before I was due to be there. And I did the right thing, and I got my phone out. Better check I'll do it now as well, actually. Yeah, and I turned it to silent, so that was done. And then I set out the script so that it was all the way across the table, so I wouldn't have to turn over any pages. And then I got out a pen, and then I set this up with the little atomic clock app on it, so I got the per second count. And then I put the headphones on, and I took a deep breath, and I waited for the voice from Media City in Salford. And the blinking phone went just then in the studio, and I thought, oh, what the heck? And then I saw the name on it was actually the name of my producer, and then it turned out that he had no record of which studio I was in the country. He said, "Excuse me, Richard, where are you? Then we can plug into you." So it's just as well I answered it, or the programme wouldn't have happened. You see, sometimes the interruption is the very thing that saves the day. Sometimes the thing we weren't wanting or expecting, the voice that interrupts, is actually the very thing that we have to hear. Last week we were talking about the voice of the prophet. This week we're thinking about the voice of the angel. Described in the brilliant Church English Dictionary. If you haven't got a copy of the Church English Dictionary, buy one. It's hilarious. And their definition of an angel is, quote, "God's motorcycle couriers, always turning up when least expected." Joseph's asleep. And it's probably a fitful sleep, because his hopes of normality and his plans for the future have all been dashed. Mary is not the girl he thought she was, whatever the truth of the story she told him, and he doesn't know, quite frankly. And even if he called it all off quietly, as he intended to do, there would be whispers and rumours and innuendo behind his back. The chances of him finding anyone else to ever marry against such a background were next to nothing. The chances are, I suspect, that nighttime was a welcome refuge from the puzzling realities of what his days had become. At least his dreams were his own. Or not, as it turns out. In this instance, like the unexpected phone call, like the disturbance of that peaceful moment, in comes the angel. He's one of many dreamers in the Bible. There's Jacob, who dreams of a ladder stretching up to heaven and back. There's Joseph, who dreams of what will be for his land and for his fellow prisoners. There's Peter, who dreams of a breadth to God's plan that he would never have believed when he was awake. There was Paul, who heard a man call to him in his dream across the Adriatic and beg him to come to Macedonia. Like that phone call to me on Monday morning. It's these interruptive dreams, this voice that's unexpected, would actually end up saving the day. And friends, I just want to give you two pieces of advice when you hear that voice, and you will hear it somehow and at some point. Two pieces of advice. The first is this: be quickly attentive, and the second is be slowly obedient. Be quickly attentive. You know, Joseph is given an enormous amount to take in here. He goes to bed as a man who is all set to break off his engagement. And he's told in verse 20, now don't do that. And then he's told that the reason he shouldn't do that, again in verse 20, if you're looking at it before you, he says, look, don't do that because this baby that she is carrying is unlike any other that's ever been born in the history of humankind, conceived entirely by miraculous means. Oh, and by the way, verse 21, when he is born, you are to give him a name which is not a family name, which is going to set tongues wagging all over again. Why have they given the child this strange name? And in fact, he says that when you give him the name, Joseph, you'll be the first person to really mean it. Verse 21, he's told, you've got to call him Jesus. Listen, lots of people called their kids Jesus. Lots of people called their baby boys Jesus. It was a really popular name because it actually means God to the rescue. It was like they were reminding God of his obligations every time a new child was born. But the angel says this time, it'll actually do what it says on the tin. This time, it's actually for real. You know, this poor guy, he goes to bed to get away from all that in his life that is puzzling and troubling, and into it comes the angel. And the angel says, don't break off the engagement. And this is a miraculous baby. Oh, and by the way, you're to give him a name that you wouldn't have expected to do. Oh, and if you've taken all of that in, you might like to take this to heart as well. Verses 22 to 24, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. So once you've got your head around the fact that you're not to break off the engagement and that this baby is entirely miraculous and that you're going to be the first person ever to give somebody the name Jesus and mean it, once you've got your head around all of that, you might like also like to get your head around the fact that this is all in fulfillment of prophecies that you have been hearing since the first day that you ever went to the temple. And all coming true in the orbit of your life. It's a massive, massive amount to take in. There's disappointment that his plans were not the way he thought they were. There's shock that an angel should talk to him in the first place. I would challenge you to find anyone in the Bible who encounters an angel and isn't terrified. There's fear of what the angel requires of him. And as the dream fades, and you know he does that thing where you start to swim up to the surface of being awake, then it all dawns on him that actually he'll have to go through with it. And there is this awesome sense of responsibility. And in a classic bit of biblical understatement, I love it when it does this, it just says, and he did it. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel told him. No questions, no prevarication, no excuses, he just got on with it. Friends, how God needs swiftly attentive servants. People like Joseph here who will drop his objections on the spot. People like Paul, a busy, busy man with a whole world to reach for Jesus, who changes his plans in the middle of his itinerary because the voice of the angel comes. Or like the boy Samuel, who hears God and gets up, and hears God and gets up, and hears God and gets up again and again and again. Are you listening? When he speaks. Because let me tell you this. The world loses far more through the apathy of Christians than it does through the opposition of Satan. The world pays a far higher price by people like us not listening than ever it does by the devil jumping up and down and making a fuss. Joseph's role is never the most glamorous in this story. You know, nobody particularly wants to be cast as Joseph in the nativity play because just stand there. And they don't really have anything to say, and, you know, it's not what they're looking for. He's often depicted as much older, though that's probably done to emphasize the youth of Mary. He's often pictured in the great artworks and paintings of the Christmas story as being a little bit perplexed or maybe even sad. There's a picture painted in 1310 by Giotto, and in that, he's pictured as actually being completely outside the stable. It's like he's not even allowed. You know, he's on the edge there somewhere, and yet he does what is asked of him. One commentator writes and says, there is great need in the world for men and women who, like Joseph, can fill second places grandly. I wonder if that's you. Listen, when God speaks, and he will, not necessarily in a dream, but he will, When God speaks, make sure that you are quickly attentive as he was, but also make sure that you are slowly obedient. I don't know if any of you remember it, but back in 2010, in December, there was a little project called the Nativity. Yeah, I did say that deliberately, Nativity. And it was the Nativity story told in real time on Twitter by the characters. And so, you know, Mary had a Twitter feed and Joseph had a Twitter feed and the angels did. And they were all talking about what was going on in the story. And I was asked to run the theological discussion stream for that online, which I was glad to do. And when I set off a discussion about Joseph when he first started piping up, I got some really interesting responses. Let me read one to you. Somebody wrote in to me and said, "We became parents for the first time last January when we adopted our three-year-old daughter. She's full of energy, has a great sense of humour and loves David Tennant. She also growls, ah, when she's annoyed, just like her dad. Plays drums on her legs, just like her dad. And shouts, come on, Bradford, when the football's on, just like her dad." Then this person went on to say, "I've always thought Joseph's role in the Christmas story is a bit underplayed. Much is made of Mary, of her brave decision to do God's will and be mother to his son, whereas Joseph tends to get sidelined. But if God chose Mary to be Jesus' mother, didn't he choose Joseph to be Jesus' adoptive father just as much? To be the adoptive parents to Jesus was a long, long haul. It was all quite simple in the stable, actually. It was all quite restricted there and boxed in. And it would all go on from there. It would start, actually, with the journey to Bethlehem. Only Joseph needed to go. He was the only one legally who had to be there. But taking the angel's words to heart, take Mary home as your wife, he was taking that very seriously. He wasn't going to leave her behind at such a time as this. And so he takes her with him on that journey with all the consequences that then flow from it. Later on, it would be Joseph who was told by an angel to uproot the entire family and flee to Egypt to escape the infanticidal destruction that Herod would bring on that entire land. Later on still, chapter 2 and verse 19, you've got it open in front of you, it would be Joseph who was visited by an angel in a dream again and told that actually now it was time to uproot the family all over again and to take them safely back to the home where they should have been in the first place. This was a long obedience. It's all very well being quickly attentive, which he was, and woke up from the dream and acted on it, but we have to be slowly obedient too. It was a long call to him to be the adoptive father to Jesus. I remember, years ago, when I was at Purley Baptist Church, going to wave some missionaries off to start their work in Uganda. And a whole crowd of us went off to Heathrow Airport to wave them off. It was great fun. You know, and we laughed as we took photos and we prayed and we sang. And then we went and posed next to the Concord check-in desk and said, "Oh, look, we look after our missionaries." It was all great fun. But that was the easy bit. That was easy. The hard bit would be when they were working in Uganda and the local church and the village politics got their brilliant work stuck in the mire. The hard bit would be when their grandchildren were born and they were thousands of miles away. The arc of obedience to God bends long over the horizon, and very few of us see where it ends. When Joseph did what he was told, and at the end of the reading that Roger read to us, it says, he gave him the name Jesus. It was like signing on the dotted line to say to the angel, yeah, I accept what you have asked me to do. I'll take that on. In truth, that, though, was only the beginning. We hear very little about Joseph later on in the chapters of the Gospel. We can assume he's still there when the boy Jesus is found in the temple, because it talks about him being away from his parents and that his parents were looking for him. But by the time of the cross, of course, he's gone. He's absent from the story. Maybe as he was that much older, he was dead by then. We don't know. Joseph is swiftly attentive, but he is slowly, slowly obedient. And without that obedience, the baby Jesus would have been just one more Hebrew baby boy buried in an unmarked grave. And we wouldn't be here this morning. You see, when God speaks, You've got to be swiftly attentive. Prick your ears up. Got to be prepared to be slowly obedient, because what he's calling you to do could be a long task and a twisting journey. Let me come back to that phone call just as I finish. Years ago, way before I was doing things on the radio, when I used to do plays of various kinds, I always remember someone saying to me, now listen, he said, when the producer tells you how to say your lines, always nod and smile, and then do them the way you always intended to do them anyway. That doesn't work doing radio broadcasts. Once the producer had got hold of me and spent the next hour tweaking and editing and honing and adjusting the timing, I jolly well had to do it. Because if you don't, you don't get invited back. When God interrupts, when the voice comes and he says, I need you to do this for me. Make sure that you're quickly attentive, but make sure that you are slowly obedient too. And as that slow obedience unfurls, so the world gets blessed and so do you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the sound of your voice. Thank you, Father, for those times in all our lives when you have interrupted with the unexpected message. Father, help us when those moments come to be quickly attentive and slowly obedient, we pray. Amen. Ruth.
Would you like to stand as we sing our next song?
In so many ways, this table is right at the heart of what we do and who we are. This is where we remember that we're only brought together at great cost. It's right there at the centre of what fellowship is all about. And that's why it's a good place always to welcome new people into membership, those who've decided the time has come to walk with us and to be part of what God is doing here. So Dave and Carol, come out and join me for a minute. So I'm not going to ask you to make a speech or anything. In some ways it feels like you've been around a long time, but now this is to say, look, we really want you to be part of this fellowship, and you want to be part of it too. And I know you're going to be a blessing to it. Let me welcome you properly and give that to you, and that to you as well, Carol. It's lovely to have you here with us, and we know you'll be a blessing to us. Would you stand with me? We'll pray for these two, and we'll pray for some other needs. I'm going to stand here with her. Father, we thank you for Dave and for Carol and for all the kindness and generosity that they bring into this fellowship with them. We thank you, Father, that they have been slowly obedient and they have taken what you've said to them and taken these steps of faith into this fellowship. And Father, as we pray for them, we take a moment to pray for others in this fellowship too. We pray, Father, for those who are weary, for whom every step takes it all out of them. Give them your strength today. We pray for those who are sick, for whom life has turned upside down, and we pray for your strength. We pray, Father, for those who are lonely today, even in the crowd, and ask that you would walk by their side. And we pray for those whose lives are full of hope too. May they know the joy and the presence of Jesus with them. Father, for each other, for those in need, and today especially for these two, for Dave and Carol, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you both. Thank you. So we remember that last night on the earth when Jesus sat around a table with his friends. And during that meal, he took some bread. He gave thanks and he broke it, saying to them, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this," he said, "to remember me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said to them, "This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you." Before we share this bread and wine, let's give thanks as he did. Father, we have done nothing. Nothing to deserve a love such as this. A love conceived in the dawn of all eternity and stretching until beyond its end. Father, thank you for this sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. And as we share this bread and wine, make us, Father, we pray, truly grateful. Amen. Let's take the bread and eat it as we receive it. when we take that path of slow obedience, I think we're generally pretty grateful for those who walk it beside us, the ones who help nudge us back onto it every time we step away, the ones who pick us up when we fall over. As you wait for others to be served, maybe that's a moment to give thanks to God for those who've helped you on that path of slow obedience, and then we'll drink together. Drink this knowing that the blood of Christ has set you free, and be thankful. In just a moment or two, we're going to sing our closing hymn, which is another great Advent one, Come, O Long Expected Jesus. And as we do that, we're going to take up an offering for the work of the Bible Society. Let's stand and sing together. Friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.